Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
All right, it's Day Player on 720 WGN. So, you know, viewers break down the halftime show just as they talk about the game itself. And tonight, Lady Gaga is reportedly pushing to perform on the roof, and I don't think they've actually figured out all the insurance stuff on that yet before she pushes Tony Bennett off on the top. And playing the Super Bowl is a big, big, big deal. And joining us to rank just about every single halftime show ever in the history of the Super Bowl is Michael Heidemann, Kevin Richter, host of Sound Sessions, my buddies. Original producer. That's what we're gonna original producers T-shirts.
I would, yeah, cool, or like, right? A belt, like a title belt. I'd wear that.
I do it, guys.
We're doing good. Thanks, Dave. Yeah,
thank you for coming, like smack ass in the middle of the show. I appreciate that.
Here we are.
Here you are. So this was kind of a cool, you know, you guys are deep music guys, and really have some really interesting interviews on your podcast Sound Sessions, which you can find at WGN Plus. Every couple weeks. Okay, yeah. And but this is really looking back a little old school at what Super Bowl halftime shows used to be. And we were just talking a little while ago that the 60s, the 70s, into the 80s was a marching band for the most part. Maybe there was somebody thrown in now and there, but it wasn't until like Michael Jackson, I think, came and hit the scene where I remember as a kid going, wow, this is a big deal. They're actually having a real performer on during the Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like just like since then, the Super Bowl itself has just become such a production. It's not just about going out and playing the game anymore. There's all these bells and whistles before the game and halftime. And yeah, so yeah, quite a difference.
Yeah.
And build up where they announce who is going to be performing so everyone can complain about it. And then releasing their commercials early. It's just
leaked.
Becoming this
whole.
Yeah. It's true. It's true. Thing. But now, you know, sometimes there's surprises that come out, like last year. And I've looked at like every list from Rolling Stone magazine to Billboard to USA Today. Last year's Super Bowl halftime performance, they say, was the worst ever. Even the marching bands were better, they're saying.
I won't say they're the worst ever. I'll say that they were the second worst ever, in my opinion.
Where was the worst, too?
The Black Eyed Peas.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That was pretty pathetic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had that live, like, vocoding where his voice goes like this.
Oh, that's right.
And he's trying to sing over it. It was god-awful.
You know what, though? It was really after Janet Jackson's nipple slip, which is really what that was, that they changed everything and they said, well, you know what? We're going to play it safe from now on. And I know what my favorite is, and I already have people texting, like tons of people texting, at 312-981-7200 if you got a favorite halftime show you want to share with us. What do you think was the worst, Michael?
Well, you know, I'd have to say...
Are you both on the same page, or you got some differences between you?
No, we have some differences between us. Yeah. You know, what was the one that I had mentioned before? I was going to say...
This is going to be controversial, I think.
I have a thought process behind that, the nipple slip. The famous one. I remember I was playing poker with my friends downstairs eating pizza.
I missed it, yeah.
I totally missed it.
How old were you in 2004, Michael?
I was 18 years old.
Okay, all right.
So I was allowed to see that kind of stuff.
All right, okay.
And I remember just like that was the last of the MTV-produced halftime shows, right? At least for a while, because they started going in with the older classic rock guys right after that.
Yeah,
sadly.
Yeah, playing it safe.
I would have said more nipple slips. But
to get more of those?
Yeah. More ratings, I guess. Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I would agree.
The worst one to me... This is going to be very...
Because you watched them all. You watched a lot of them.
Oh, yeah.
I watched a lot of them. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Went through the articles, did our research. I'd have to say the worst one of all time, this is going to get a lot of people mad, but Prince in 07.
Oof. I knew that was coming.
Wow. Because you know what? I've got a ton of...
Where that was their favorite,
right? That say it's their absolute favorite, and a lot of these rankings.
For reference, mine is at... Prince is at 2 on my list.
Okay.
2
that's a big... Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So tell me why.
Well, you know, when I was getting into it, I was more into, like... I was really into... I guess I was into pop music and rock bands for a little bit of time. And the way that he came out, it was just... I was so thrown off by the fact that it was just him and a guitar. Like, maybe I was just not used to it at the time, but he came out, and I was not really into... I really wasn't into Prince's catalog in 2007.
Okay.
I mean, that's, what, like a good 7-10 years ago now?
You know what, though? But they thought that a few years later after Janet Jackson that was safe because they knew what his songs were all about.
Exactly.
Even though he was controversial at the time that he was playing. I mean, he was pretty edgy back then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, when you look 20 years, 25 years later at the music, it's pretty mainstream at that point.
It's pretty funky. Right. I will give him the caveat of having the best stage, though, because it was in the
that
shape
was pretty
of
cool.
his symbol.
That's right.
He's got that.
But man, with like Purple Rain and he's wailing in front of the oh my God, it was
cool.
Iconic.
It was cool. All right, let's keep going. What are some other ones that are starting to jump up the list here?
Well, if we're starting at the top,
let's talk about one of the let's talk between the two of you, the ones that Roger, we're going to be late through the whole show. what are the ones that you would say were not the best? We don't have to by number, but what would you say? What are some other ones that
were
low?
I feel like after we talk about, okay, so we said the Black Eyed Peas in my mind was the best. Or, I'm sorry, the worst, rather. After that, I had Coldplay, like is mentioned. I'm not sure if you're a fan. I'm not really. They're kind of bland, hence why they needed Bruno Mars and Beyonce to come out and kind of spice
it. I don't mind them.
Up.
It just wasn't.
It's not a football.
Right.
You know?
It wasn't exciting.
And then for me, I kind of just wrote blah from 49 to 14.
Okay.
So within that whole body.
Yeah, hit a couple of them. Tell me what
you want. I just kind of wrote, that whole block, it's just, you kind of just, they're all one and the same to me. Then you have like your Tony Bennett and Patti LaBelle. It was weird. It was Indiana Jones themed, and they had like an Indiana Jones production going on.
Yeah.
There was a guy that got lit on fire, I think on purpose.
Mm-hmm. That was Tony. Tony's hair.
Right. Weird costumes, the whole deal. I thought the one that had a lot of potential but didn't really quite live up was Phil Collins, Christina Aguilera, Enrique Iglesias, who, why is he even there? Tony Braxton.
Was huge at that time.
I know he was huge. I don't know. It doesn't seem fitting for me. Mm. Phil looked like he stepped off the golf course. He was just wearing like cargo pants and like a Kangol hat. They didn't really play any of the big songs, any of the hits.
You know, is it just me, or are you finding that more of the earlier inceptions of these halftime shows were more Broadway, kind of like, old school theater based?
This one looked really like Cirque du Soleil-esque.
Yeah.
You know, they had a bunch of weird dancers, and I don't know.
309 said when the halftime show comes on, they change the channel. You know, there's sometimes alternative programming. Yeah, there's some other things that... I think Living Color, which was kind of like the Saturday Night Live version of that, they had a halftime show, and... The number of people that actually did switch, because the halftime shows back then, I think it was in the 90s or maybe even the late 80s, weren't that great.
Mm-hmm.
There was more people that turned to that show and then turned it back to the Super Bowl.
Oh, man.
If you can believe that.
Or go and get the food and go to, bathroom break.
Phil Collins, Enrique Iglesias, that was like early 2000.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It was okay. I love Phil Collins, but it was just okay.
It didn't work.
Blues Brothers was interesting, and I do remember that on stage with ZZ Top.
Yeah, it's cool. It was a nice cast. You had the Blues Brothers, you had ZZ Top, and you had James Brown. It was pretty obviously lip-synced, though, I thought.
Yes, a lot of them.
I think at this point you might as well.
And then the coolest thing is it looks here like the Oscar Mayer Wiener produced that whole
gotta love that.
Man. Sponsor, yeah. There's a lot of people texting in about Prince and U2. The best was U2 in 2002, post 9/11.
Mm.
It was not only great, but very timely and emotional. Mm-hmm. And then I've got somebody that says, hey, Dave, could you get David to interview the late Wolfman Jack?
Yes.
yes, absolutely.
I could tell you my story of when I spent most of an evening with Wolfman Jack.
Is that right?
Yep.
When was that?
This was back late 80s, early 90s. I booked him because he did music shows. He brought in old rock and roll acts, and he would MC them. So he came up, he flew up, and I actually picked him and his accompanist up at the airport. I was working for Gloria Jean's Coffee at the time, and we booked him for Ed and Gloria's 50th birthday party.
Wow. I mean, legendary, legendary guy. But no, I can't interview him. Yeah. All right, Aaron,
read his book.
We're going to hit the top ones, the ones that as we climb up the charts here. But first, this is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago, WGNradio.com. It's a beautiful day. All right, it's Dave Player on 720 WGN, along with Kevin Richter, Michael Heidemann of Sound Sessions on WGN Plus, our music guys here at the station talking about the best and worst Super Bowl halftime shows. I was just mentioning earlier, as we're having just a little cocktail and some,
of course,
and
yeah,
some chicken and stuff, that the first time you and I, Kevin, had and this happened with Michael too, but this was just very memorable to me because I don't remember who we had in, but somebody maybe from Few Spirits.
I think it was Few. I do think it was Few.
And I don't think either of us realized, and this has happened again to Kevin and I too, that they were bringing out these shot glasses, but we weren't doing shots necessarily. We were
just doing tastes.
Yeah. And doing tastes, but the tastes were full glasses.
Ugh.
And we were like, this one's good.
Yeah,
it's oaky and whatever. And we're going through everything. And by the end of that 30-minute segment, luckily we were on tape for the next like half hour, and I looked in there, and you were just staring straight ahead.
Zoning out a bit, maybe.
I said,
you know,
what's going on in there? And you said, dude, I'm blanked up, man.
Did I say that?
You did say that.
Okay. Well,
you did.
Whoops.
Not on the air.
No.
But it was pretty funny because and I think Bob Ferguson came down here, and he totally knew that both of us were drunk.
You can probably smell it. Yeah.
It's probably on the air. It's about 4 years ago, 5 years ago. All right, so we were getting some texts in on the best and the worst. A lot of U2ers, people love U2. Prince was another one. Bruno Mars, the first year, was another one mentioned. wait a minute. This one says, Dave, you've spawned two very cool cats in Kevin and Mike. I've spawned you.
Hey.
Are we... question is, which one is cooler? Sorry, Mike, I got to go with Kevin here because he gets to work with the astrophysicist of comedy, Mr. Bill Leff. I'm jealous.
That's an interesting way of putting it. All right.
I'd agree with that.
Thank you, Texter. Appreciate that.
I just have to see if that's Bill's cell phone.
That probably is. Yeah, right.
The astrophysicist.
All right. What are some of the top ones? We'll start with you, Michael, that you really, you know, say these were the best.
Well, when I was – so I've seen my fair share of halftime shows. And what I always find is I like a good throwback to the past. So mm-hmm. I'd say right off the top – anytime that I see Paul McCartney come on stage,
right,
I know that it's going to be a good show.
Absolutely.
I want to hear this classics. I know that amazing drummer is going to be there just wailing, and I know that he's going to play the hits. So I'd say anytime that Paul came on stage would be great.
You know what? That was right after Janet Jackson. It was right after the year. So you couldn't be any safer that
sure.
Paul
right?
wasn't going to let one slip. You know what I'm saying?
He hasn't done that in years.
No, he has not done that.
I mean, that's
years.
Why you go to him.
I'd be more concerned about Mick Jagger doing that. All right. What else? What else are some of his favorites?
So then I'd say, you know, some of the popular ones that I enjoyed were probably, to be honest, I kind of like Britney Spears a little bit when she goes on stage.
Yeah,
she's,
sure.
she's fun. She bounces around a little bit.
Have you seen her in Vegas?
I have not, but you know, surprisingly, I do want to go and see that show.
I did see it, and I got to tell you, I was very like, I got to go see Britney, because I had clients that wanted to go see her, and it was a really phenomenal show. I was very surprised how good it was.
There's
really?
No denying Toxic is a jam.
Yeah.
I love that
there
song.
There you go.
Your right. coolness points from that listener just went down like
50. Come on.
She still looks fabulous. I
she does. She does.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm with you on Toxic. There's like a list of like the 1,000 songs you have to listen to before you die.
Would
and
that be?
Toxic is... in there.
1,000 or 100, would you say?
No, I don't know. I don't know about 100.
Okay. 100 may be a little generous.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd say that.
All right.
I'd listen to it 100 times if they let me.
I probably have.
Okay.
What other ones did you were you fond of?
Like I said, the old school ones. I loved when Bruce Springsteen would come back on.
Because that's another one we get a lot of textures.
Just
on
want a tight Bruce. Band yeah. playing that set, and you don't want any too like because you can you if you take too many risks in that halftime show, you only got what is it 10 minutes?
Well, I mean, some of them stretch it out like 12 minutes. Yeah. There's some that kind of push it a little bit, but.
Yeah, so if you get a tight set from a band, that's great. I'm not sure. What about you guys?
You think about the crew setting that up.
Oh my gosh.
In record time and pulling it down and being able to actually, because they've got to put stuff on the field, obviously, to protect the field.
Yeah.
But to do that and get in and out in literally 20 minutes is crazy.
Yes.
The amount of semis that just must roll through there.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. How about you?
So I'll just kind of go through like my top five or so. Number one, I had Bruno Mars, where it was his standalone performance.
Oh, okay.
Starts it off with a drum solo, and you're thinking, what? Bruno Mars plays drums? Yeah. And he killed it. Then he's got, you know, choreographed dance numbers. Comes out with the Chili Peppers come out with him, and they play Give It Away Now. Great song, great performance, loved it. Prince I have after that, like we talked about earlier. At number three, I have Michael Jackson. We talked about that earlier. He kind of set the precedent, set the bar.
He did. That was the first guy that really did a show.
And this performance, he starts out, maybe it was a stunt double or something, but starts out on top of the scoreboard. Jeez. The next thing you know, he's popping up from below the stage, and he just stands there for a full 90 seconds without moving, not saying a word. Yeah. It's just people cheering.
Yeah. Power move.
Yeah, great. And after that, had Beyonce. She was super powerful, had a reunion with Destiny's Child. When she started out, it was just a big silhouette, probably a 50-foot silhouette of her. And then after that, Bruce Springsteen. And like you said, Michael, when you're playing the halftime show, play the hits. Phil Collins, play the hits. Yeah. That's what we want to hear.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say Paul McCartney was a favorite, and then Springsteen, U2. I would say equally Beyonce and Madonna when they did that. They were both spectacular shows.
That Madonna one was something.
Yeah.
That was when she was putting out that album, trying to stay young and relevant again.
Yeah.
She had that weird trampoline stick guy bouncing on that thing. You remember that?
Oh, my gosh. That was such a cool, ridiculous, just... a circus that was on stage at that time.
I asked Emma, my daughter. She said the Katy Perry one. She's only been on for 11 of them, but she really liked the Katy Perry
one
as well.
That one went viral with the Left Shark.
That's right.
Prince, I would rank Prince high up there. I do remember Diana Ross doing that about 20 years ago. It was interesting, but it felt very old school, and everything wasn't a really fast-moving hit. She played some slow stuff, too, and that just kind of – it almost hit the wall.
But she flew away in a helicopter.
She did fly away in a helicopter.
Which is pretty cool.
And the Stones. Honestly, you can't beat the Stones doing that either. Tom Petty was fun.
I love Tom Petty.
So I'd say that as well. Bruce Springsteen has a great chapter in his recent book on the Super Bowl performance. Excellent read. That's from
check that out.
319. What do you think about Lady Gaga tonight?
I'm excited. I think – you saw her perform the anthem maybe a year or two ago, and she absolutely destroyed it. It was wonderful, totally beautiful.
Nice job.
People forget how talented she really is. Yeah, she's a pop artist, but man, she can belt it.
She can belt it. Has great hits. Like even on her new album, she doesn't really stop with some of the songs in her new album are really great. So I'm excited to see whether she's going to be playing the old hits or these new hits that she has.
And
too.
You know that she's a performer. She's going to put on a show. Yeah. And I'm wondering. I think they may have addressed it, or maybe not, but. Is she going to get political? Is she going to send a message of some sort? She's never been one to kind of back down from the big screen like that.
That's one thing that I read from Ad Age magazine that said that one of the things that people do not want to see at the Super Bowl is any politics.
Sure, I get that.
And, any kneeling during the national anthem, any of that stuff. And specifically the commercials. And I think so far from what I've seen and heard so far, there's nothing really that's going to be out there that's
too much
going to be like that. People want to laugh, and they need a breather.
Yeah,
it's
that's
been
true.
A lot
that's true.
For the last 30, 90 days of politics that people need a bit of a break. And, we're also wondering, too, Jeff Rogers, our previous guest, was talking about the fact that she does reinvent herself often.
Oh, yeah.
And this might be one of those times that she does something completely different, and everyone wants to know, is she going to drop Tony Bennett from the roof?
I'm really
90 now.
Really curious how
they've been that set up for her, at least.
Yeah. I would be surprised because they say Lady Gaga, but it's always several acts that come
out.
I'm wondering who those other people are going to be.
Who can you pair with her? I mean, she's going to overshadow anyone. She's just that big.
And at this point, I have to let the kids tell me that's blah, blah, blah coming out. I have no idea. You know, I'd like to see some of these as well. All right, so... what are you guys up to? What's going on with Sound Sessions?
Lots of good things happening in 2017. We've hit it pretty hard. We already have a few interviews docket.
In the can. We just talked to Steve Burns of Blues Clues.
Oh, cool.
He's got a new music project coming out with Steven Drozd of the Flaming Lips. So we talked to him this week.
How old is he now?
I think he's 40s? Like 40s.
Yeah. He's old. He's old, Roger. Oh, he's gone. Yeah. All right, anyway.
people kind of assume that once winter rolls around that the music scene kind of slows down. That's not the case. There's always acts coming through, so we're always, either going to venues or getting acts in here. And we kind of made a commitment to, this is a new thing we're doing this year, where we decided, we talk to bands all the time. We're going to talk to each other once a month and kind of just riff on some topics and have a little fun with it.
Yeah, kind of like you're doing now.
You
should do that.
So do that a little more.
I like that. What about festivals? Like, what are some of the earliest ones that are happening?
This guy is going down to South by Southwest.
Yep, I saw that on your
going
Facebook
going to South
page,
by Southwest 4 years, so we're going to be doing some Sound Session interviews down there.
Wow.
That's in March.
In March, and then following that, it's just happens. Summer's here as soon as you...
What are some of the performers for South by Southwest? Who are we going
to
see?
You know, I haven't, to be honest, there's so many. I haven't really been looked into the vast majority, but it's mainly they've been announcing just the local Chicago bands that are going to be down there. I think the Kickback is going to be down there, who are going to be setting up an interview with. Yeah. A lot of other great groups.
And that's one of the festivals, too, that you can just, it's just bars and bars and bars, and you can just kind of pop in a bar, catch a band here, catch a band there.
Some of the some of the greatest music I've listened to, I've just stumbled upon just going, walking down 6th Street in Austin, Texas. So
that's cool.
And feel free to come down, Dave.
That's cool. Let's do it. I'll be your younger brother.
I'd love it. But besides that, we have a lot of cool summer festivals coming up. We're going to be hitting up Lollapalooza again this year. We're going to be doing probably Chicago Open Air. We had some good ticket giveaways last year. And just seeing what's going to be happening. Kevin's going to go down to Los Angeles pretty soon. Are you going to check out any venues down there?
Hopefully. We're going to kind of map out who's
where. Is the whiskey
where.
Still open? The whiskey
I think it is
open.
The Whiskey Go-Go,
It's right by my ear pierced.
Are you serious?
Time ago. Oh, yeah.
You got it at the Whiskey and Go-Go.
It was at the Whiskey, after a few cocktails.
I was on purpose?
I'm not quite sure. I was with some friends. I'm not quite sure if I remember what it was, but it was at the Whiskey. Yep. Tony Bennett is going to appear at some point with Lady Gaga. I know it. That's John DeKalb. I think he's right.
That'd be cool.
That's a safe bet. You know, I've been hearing Tony Bennett and the band Migos. Have you heard them? They're the band that sings Bad and Bougie.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, they've been there's been a little bit of an uproar about them going on with Lady Gaga as well. So I'm excited to see what she brings out.
And then, of course, your day jobs. So, by the way, again, great podcast to listen to in the music industry, Sound Sessions. And again, you can find it on the WGN Radio page, but click on WGN Plus and you'll find it all there. Yeah. And, of course, your day jobs, Bill and Wendy.
Yes, sir.
Bill and Wendy, and doing split shifts, but they're going to be going to mornings and then online, which is pretty cool.
So we'll be 10 to noon. Starting March 13th, we'll be 10 to noon, and then we'll take it from noon to 1 on the stream.
We're jamming a lot into a day now. We're jamming a lot into a day. And then you just started producing for Patty Vasquez.
Yep, Patty Vasquez, cool. 11 to 2 daily.
Going from getting up at 3 to going to bed at 3. That has got to be the biggest body shock of them all.
Oh, yeah. It's
that's a complete boom.
It's really changed the way we're doing these interviews now. It's like I'll text him and like, hey, are you good for this interview at 3:30? And he's like, yeah, I just got to get out of bed.
Oh, yeah. No, I bet. But that's a fun show. That's a great, it's a great streaming of the mind conversation that she has every night on all kinds of issues. Yeah.
We're starting to do some more segment-based stuff, taking a lot more listener calls, doing some contests. We had a George Takei game show the other night, so.
Nice.
It's pretty exciting.
With George.
With George.
Very cool. George. Very cool stuff. Michael Heidemann, Kevin Richter, thanks, buddies.
Thank you.
Enjoy the Super Bowl. Absolutely. All right, we're going to talk to, who are we talking to next? Oh, Jarrett Payton, coming up next, 720 WGN.